Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1:33 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, along with her ace engineer, Angie Quinnell. We're at the Red Deer Golf and Country Club, home of the Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament for the Central Alberta Children's Advocacy Center. So far on the show today, we've had Brian Burke, Brian Lawton, Evan Bouchard, Chris Russell, Sheldon Kennedy have all joined us on today's edition of Oilers Now. Without further ado, we're going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline for Legacy Heating and Cooling, paying overtime rates on their 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. We welcome back to the show NHL insider John Shannon. Hello, John. How you doing?
Good, Bob. Have you hit them straight today?
Nobody would want to. You know what? It's funny because I was having this conversation with Brian Burke. Apparently, he doesn't golf much either.
No, I've been to Brian's events a few times over the years, and all he does is drives around in a golf cart, drinks beer, and criticizes people like a typical media guy.
Well, we'll get to the hockey stuff. I want to talk to you a bit about Darnell Nurse a little bit later on, so we'll tease that. But I want to get to a couple machinations that have occurred in the broadcast industry over the course of the last week. And one is John Tortorella ending up at ESPN. Now, we know that Wayne Gretzky has gone to TNT. We know that Mark Messier has gone to ESPN. But I'm wondering whether or not, given the personality and how demonstrative John Tortorella can be at times, though I'm told he's significantly mellowed in age with Columbus, at least that's what I was told. How do you think this incarnation of Torts will do on ESPN?
Well, I think you have to ask what the end goal is for John Tortorella. Is John Tortorella's end goal to be on television for the duration of this contract, which I believe is 7 years? Or is John Tortorella's end goal to get back into coaching? I believe it's the latter. And so I suspect that John will be mellow. I think he will be, he won't be as fiery. I don't think he'll want to take the time to upset anybody within the hockey community. I think he'll tell some great stories at times, and his analysis will be simple and effective. But I don't suspect any fireworks from John Tortorella at ESPN. And I think any network that hires a guy like John is hoping that he will have fireworks. But I just don't see that, because I think John wants to coach again.
We have Ron McLean at this event as well. For years, partnered up with Don Cherry. Are we ever going to see? I mean, Charles Barkley on TNT, he lets her rip pretty good, and it's really entertaining stuff at times. But have we got to the place in society where you can't say anything? So if you push the envelope, you've got people coming after you left and right because, you know, frankly, some would say that it can be at times a bit of a woke fest out there, that there's a significant push to be politically correct at all times. Does that eliminate from the discourse? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What's your take on all that, John?
Listen, our society's changing every day. We've seen this. So we've seen it change. Gosh, we've seen it change, I think, Bob, in the last 5 years. Not gradually, but drastically. And I think that there is a challenge for people to go on the air and say something that would be viewed as controversial because of a possible backlash from some corner of the community. And I do think that there are times where people will just not say anything in order to try to avoid any controversy. I think that's a fact of life. That doesn't mean you can't be entertaining. That doesn't mean you can't be a little controversial. But in trying to do, because you can do all of those things without and still be politically correct.
Right.
But you have to really think about it, and you have to really understand it, and you have to believe in yourself. And it's the days of putting somebody on the air without any
Governor?
Pre-planning. Oh, well, a governor's one thing, but pre-planning, understanding that this is, you know, that it's a little more detailed than just getting on the air and spewing. I think those days are gone. And I think that I think people who want to get into the industry, former athletes want to get into the industry, think it's easy to do that. But the reality is, and you know this, Bob, is that, this is something you work at every day. And if you can back up what you say on the air, if it's got a heavy opinion, if you can back it up with solid research and quality background information, then you're going to be okay. But you just have to be able to guard yourself. And I guess the word governor is a fair one. You have to guard yourself against being, anti-something at some point. And that's really the issue everybody has the challenge of right now.
John, we're relying on your extensive experience as an executive in broadcasting. What have you thought of the work of CBC? And you're so close to the U.S. border there, you've obviously been able to see some of the NBC stuff. Are we, you know, the combination of the various platforms that Canada gets, is it giving us a whole different experience than what Americans get with the Olympics coverage?
Well, I think the Americans have changed, and I think the time zones, the 13 hours difference has changed. I mean, remember, because of rights, we don't see all of the multitude of channels that NBC is actually putting on the air live during the day. We see the NBC feed, which is out of either in York State, out of Seattle or Spokane, and it's really the prepackaged, tape delayed event for prime time, which, you know, CBC has to do as well. But the rest of the day, there are multitude of channels. I'll tell you what, I have watched a lot of Olympics, Bob, but I rarely watch the CBC main network or NBC main network because I have loved the CBC app, where you can actually go directly to the venue and watch the international feed from the Olympic broadcaster, and you can there are some that don't have commentary. Some of them just have the sound of the event. But the fact is now you're able to program your own Olympic experience. If you go to the CBC app and just go to the venue, you can watch replays at any time. Quite frankly, technology, the Olympics have done a great job with technology, and the networks have done a great job with technology as well.
All right, John. I'm not engaged with it as much, though I did watch the 200 meters today, early in the morning. The show's obviously going to the dogs, but I...
you're barking up the wrong tree, Bob.
Yes. My interest is certainly going to increase if we get the best of the best in the hockey world at the Olympics in the winter 2022. Where are we at in that regard? What are you hearing? What's the latest?
We had Gary on the podcast last week, and that was one of the questions we asked him. I think they're hoping to have some resolution in the next 2 to 3 weeks. He wasn't prepared to give a deadline, but he says the sooner the better. And I think he was quite candid when he said, you know, listen, if I had my druthers, we wouldn't go, but I made a promise to the players that they would do their best to make sure that they can go. But it's in many ways, Bob, it's Groundhog Day for the National Hockey League and the IOC and the IIHF and this time the Beijing governing Olympic Committee, because it's the same issues that are jumping up every time. Sure, the insurance issues and logistics can be addressed. But what about access? What about the ability of the NHL because of the commitment they're making for 2 weeks to use the Olympic rings? What about the ability of the NHL and its website and its television network in the United States to use footage? There are so many things that never, ever change, and it was the argument way back in 1998 and then 2002 and 2006. in 2010, and it never seems to go away. I still believe in my heart that the players won't go to Beijing.
Wow.
As the commissioner told us that, yes, he...
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
He did make a commitment and will do his best to make sure that they can go, but I'm not holding my breath for it.
How serious is the league right now looking at the situation with Evander Kane?
Well, I think that, you know, when you consider what has gone on this summer, the bruises that the NHL has taken, whether it's the Logan Mailloux draft or the Chicago sexual harassment inquiry or the Evander Kane issue, I think that they're taking them all seriously. And I think that they're trying to react as positively as possible and as quickly as possible to try to make sure that there can be a resolution with making sure they have all the information. And, you know, there is a certain point where, particularly in Chicago and in San Jose, where this stops being a sports issue. And it starts to be a legal issue, and it starts to be a human issue. And that's when, you know, we always talk about how we enjoy being in this business because it's fun. Well, these issues aren't fun. These issues are serious. And you have to show compassion. You have to show complete involvement and understanding what the issues are. And then you have to let people can go in and independently arbitrate what resolution should happen.
John Shannon joining us, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. It is currently 1:44 in Edmonton. John, let's get on to Darnell Nurse. We've seen a run where we've seen a lot of defensemen get paid in the nines, including Seth Jones. I have a theory that it would benefit Edmonton to have Nurse done on an 8-year deal, and the fans need to realize that he is an unrestricted free agent for all 8 of those years. You know, he took back-to-back bridge deals. He's going to make $5.6 million next year, but then he's a free agent, and so he's in the driver's seat in this negotiation. Short-term or long-term? My theory is long-term works better because it engages him, and he continues down the path of being, you know, a leader with Connor and Leon. And in fact, when Leon and Connor's deals come up, maybe Nurse is part of the pitch. Hey, guys, let's keep this band together here. What's your take?
Well, I think there's some logic to that, Bob, but I think there's also logic to a little bit of the other side saying, and quite frankly, I've heard numbers between 4-year deals and 8-year deals. And there's an advantage to the 4-year deal for Darnell when you consider that we're living right now in a flat cap era for at least the first, in my opinion, 3 years of what's going to happen in the National Hockey League when revenues are the such. And the players have signed off on this through the extension of the collective bargaining agreement. Tell me where the business is 4 years from now. Tell much how much better this business will be 4 years ago, 4 years from now, and I believe it will be. And does that make sense? You know, I mean, it's a difficult proposition for both sides because you have to look into your crystal ball and wonder where the business is, where the sport is, where Darnell is. And I think that you could make an argument for both a 4-year deal and an 8-year deal. I really do. If I'm the Oilers and I can keep that number rather reasonable, and my definition of rather reasonable has gone up a great deal in the last 3
yes.
weeks. If you can keep the number reasonable, then you want an 8-year deal. If you're Darnell and you believe in yourself, maybe you want the 4-year deal. Because who knows how much bigger after 4 years at, say, 8.5 or 9, will it be when Darnell can get into double digits?
Are you saying that he could be making $10 million a year?
In four years, and Darnell, I believe, if he took a shorter deal, if Darnell did a four-year deal, I think he'd be a double-digit defenseman in by the end of the contract.
Wow. Well, I mean, that also...
We're not that far away with guys of that ilk. When you think where Seth is and where Zach Werenski is and where Makar is.
Right.
And people and are say, you, well, if and, you want to put Nurse in that conversation, you know, 4 years from now, you know, $9 million today is $10 million in 4 years.
I can tell you right now, my belief is a lot of the fans do not see Darnell as that player. It's interesting. You take a look at the even strength numbers the past year, and he was pretty good, John. He had pretty good numbers, even strength. And people say, well, that was all driven because he got to play on a team with McDavid and Draisaitl.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, there are lots of different qualifications you can put on anybody in any contract. But I'll tell you what, I think that do you believe that Darnell Nurse can grow some more? I do.
I think
the growth we saw from Nurse this year has put him in that conversation.
Just so the listeners are aware, Darnell Nurse finished tied for the NHL lead in even strength goals by defensemen with 12. And some would say that is a statistic that can be a bit of an anomaly at times. Him and Jacob Chychrun both had 12 even strength goals this year. In terms of even strength total points, Darnell finished tied for fifth. Chychrun, Carlson, Theodore, and Weegar were ahead of him, and they were only a couple points ahead of him. So, one of the things that limits what Darnell can do is that he's unlikely to be on the Oilers' power play in the foreseeable future. I mean, realistically, John, Tyson Barrie's going to run that power play for at least a couple seasons, and Darnell and Evan Bouchard might be in the second power play unit, but the Oilers surely will go with a 1-3-1 formation on their power play, given that they've got McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins, and Hyman's probably going to be the net front next year. So, it's going to be tough for Darnell to drive offensive numbers on a consistent basis if he is not on a power play, and the Oilers have a heck of a power play.
Yeah, but I mean, if we are talking about numbers, and this is one of my pet peeves, defensemen, I think should be earning their money for what they do in their own zone, not necessarily the offensive zone.
Right. But there is
an aspect, and there is an element that you have to sure put that power play in. But I mean, if at some point Darnell Nurse isn't the best option on the power play, then you have to live with that, and that's a reality of that. On the team you play on, as you talked about before. What I want from Darnell Nurse is I want him to play defense first. I want him to worry about playing defense first and being, good 5-on-5 as opposed to worried about the power play.
Great stuff, John. Thank you for joining us here on Oilers Now.
Well, I know. Is this the Battle of Alberta, or is this the Cam Moon Invitational? That's what I want to know.
Cam was making the rounds last.
Oh, are you kidding me? Cam could run for office today.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like to be a broadcaster that's that popular, because I don't think there's one like that. Maybe I had somebody ask.
And you think I might? Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, I did have somebody ask me about Wes Montgomery. Now, Wes Montgomery, when he was alive at Edmonton in the 1960s, for our old school listeners, in the 60s and 70s, Wes was a mammoth radio personality in this.
Yep, market. He sure was. Well, ask the weatherman from Red Deer. He's done pretty well as a personality, too.
Yes,
he could run for office, too. So.
Yes. No question about it. John, great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Bob. Bye.
151 in Edmonton. We're going to take care of some business here. We're going to tell you that there's an old saying in the car business: cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments are an interest rate that's too high, or that you may want to sell, refinance, or trade in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford. Give them a call, 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. So we're wrapping up our final hour here from the Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament for the Central Alberta Children's Advocacy Center. I will tell you that tomorrow is the toast of the town. The motto is what we do today saves lives tomorrow. Toast of the town will be representing the Cure Cancer Foundation, recognizing the great work of the doctors and the researchers at Cross Cancer Institute, along with the tremendous community accomplishments of Kevin Lowe. And that's, he'll be joining us on today's edition of Oilers Now. So the proceeds here in Red Deer for the 2 days, again, go to the Children's Advocacy Center. You heard Sheldon Kennedy eloquently state, you know, just how important that is. And tomorrow we'll have the Toast of the Town. Kevin Lowe will be one of the guests. Just in terms of the Toast of the Town, the proceeds go directly to the Cross Cancer Institute. Bob Nicholson, the Oilers Community Foundation, Oilers alumni are all Toast partners. There'll be 14 Oilers attending alumni, and special VIP guests include Glenn Sather, Ron McLean, Brian Burke, Tim Hunter, and special thanks and shout out to all the partners for both events here at the Children's Advocacy Center, Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament in Red Deer, and the Toast of the Town tomorrow. Again, we'll have Kevin on the show tomorrow, along with Louis DeBrusque, who's down here in Red Deer, and George LaRocque. They will be our guests on tomorrow's edition of Oilers Now. Brendan Escott is back at the 630 Ched Studios. We'll tell you Royal Pizza, Pizza Past, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. As we go into this day in Oilers history for New West Travel, we mentioned you can experience a great holiday on a Vancouver golf trip on a private jet, three nights hotel, just $699. Details, newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan.
Back in 1999, former Oilers goaltender Bill Ranford re-signs with the team after six seasons, splitting time with Boston, Washington, Tampa, and Detroit. The 1990 Conn Smythe winner would play his final 16 NHL games in Oilers colors before retiring after the 99-2000 season.
Have you got any idea what Reed Wilkins has got coming up tonight on Inside Sports?
I do. Let me bring the message up here. You're going to actually hear from CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi, Edmonton Elks receiver Shai Ross, and a U of A track athlete Austin Cole on Andre DeGrasse's gold medal for Canada in the men's 200-meter final.
Again, tomorrow, Kevin Lowe, who'll be a part of the Toast of the Town. He's also going to be on stage tonight as part of our event for the Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament. We'll have Louis DeBrusque, George LaRocque. Special thanks to Angie Quinnell, who had to get up at about 5:30 in the morning to get us all set up down here in Red Deer. All the support staff around the Battle of Alberta Golf Tournament as well at the Red Deer Golf and Country Club. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Up next, the global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Angela Coquat today from 2 to 3 p.m., and then 6:30 Ched Afternoons with Jalen Nye. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Ched.